Well, good to see everyone out this morning.
Austin didn't want to admit it, that he's my grandson. But happy to see my grandson and my, forget my grandson, think of my great granddaughter. So good morning to you. I want, if Greg is up there, I can't see him, but I think he is, to flip up something that I want to talk about this morning. And let's see if it comes up here. I tweeted this. Do you know what Twitter is? I want to talk this morning about, we're going to look into Ecclesiastes, but I want to talk about depression this morning. And I think, I pray that each and every one that's here will be able to identify with what I will discuss. So, Greg, not going to come up or? Okay. I like the old days. When you didn't have to, when you had, what were they called? Overheads. I tweeted this the other day. Can you read it? It was a very big thing in medical news that maybe you didn't hear about, and you might have, but I produce a podcast every day, and I spoke on this, that what they've discovered is that depression is probably not caused by a chemical imbalance. And that's big news. It's certainly big news to psychiatry and to the world out there, right? That they're finding now that depression is not caused. There's probably chemical imbalance involved, but it's not caused by that. And I want to bring you something this morning from the Word of God and what the Word of God has to say about depression. Because in my experience, depression is mostly spiritual. And I want to try and prove that this morning to you, that depression is mostly spiritual. And the Bible has this to say, the word depression is actually in the Bible in, I believe it's Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25, that it says that anxiety leads to depression. And that is a big start to depression. In most people, there's anxiety. If you take any kind of history, people have been through a lot. People have been through some kind of shock, traumatic, physical, emotional shock. And that oftentimes leads to depression. Now, let me just give you medically what it says. Depression is defined as a mental disorder that involves your thoughts, behavior, feelings, and a sense of well-being. You can feel helpless, hopeless, worthless, guilty, ashamed, and restless. Those can be all symptoms of clinical depression. You often lose interest in activities that were once pleasurable to these people. So biologically, and this I got right off Google, biologically it's defined as a chemical imbalance, well, of serotonin. But we read there that now they think that that's not right. I didn't tell you what it comes from. But the Bible has a lot to say about that. And if you would come with me now, if you have your Bibles, to the book of Ecclesiastes. You know, I've been thinking about this. By the way, just on depression, I don't know if you knew this or not, that prescriptions for SSRIs are up 300% in the last 2 years. 300%. So, my friend, this is coming to a theater near you. Because the world really is, you know, one thing, I've been preaching a lot in the last couple of years through COVID or whatever. And one thing that has been consistent is that we were involved, you and I were involved in a real social experiment type of thing, Petri dish. And the results haven't been good. And one of them is depression. People are really hurting. And it's almost like it's hurting today on steroids. Do you know what I mean by that? It's like everything has been compounded in the last couple of years. And people are really feeling it. Really feeling it. And the Bible talks about it. And there was a man, Solomon, who lived thousands of years ago, who penned another social experiment. It was like a royal commission that he did on life. And he wrote about it. And when you read about it, who would be better? Who would be better than Solomon to do something like that? In 1 Kings chapter 10, we read of a queen that traveled, you know what, I should have looked at geography a little bit. But she left Africa to come to the Middle East to because she heard about Solomon, the richest, the wisest man that ever lived apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he was. The richest and the wisest. And what Solomon did is that he conducted a social experiment. Look at chapter 1. You got your Bibles there? I, the teacher, verse 12, was the king of Israel, and I lived in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to search for understanding and to explore by wisdom everything being done under heaven or under the sun. And his conclusion under the sun, wisdom that God had given him, but he stayed below heaven type of thing. And he came to some pretty negative conclusions about life. Here are a couple of them. Okay, now, I don't have time this morning, but you guys look into this because this is one a tremendous book here on life and depression. And why? Because Solomon comes and he says this, you're really only, what he said, life is, it's like meaningless. He came to he uses a term, chasing the wind, meaning that you can never really be truly satisfied because life is crazy. It doesn't make sense. And Solomon said, you know, you're only a cog in the wheel. You know what that means? Like, you're insignificant. Now, Greg, I know you're up there. I want you to bring that picture up for me if you can. Now, do you guys see that picture there?
Do you know who that is?
Okay. You know what? That's a picture
taken in 1895. That's my great grandfather. I'm a great grandfather. That's my great grandfather. I didn't even know his name. Listen.
I was doing a podcast and someone from Astorville, do you know where Astorville is? It's near North Bay. Well, my grandmother comes from there. Her maiden name was Rochefort. Really, Rochefort for good French. Okay? And this lady who heard me, she said, I don't know why I was talking about my grandmother, but she said, Rochefort. So she contacted me, got a hold of me, and she said, who was your grandmother? And I said, well, Delia Rochefort. And she said, we're cousins. Distant, but we're cousins. And she said, I got pictures. Can I send you pictures? I said, for sure. And she sent me a picture of that's my great-grandfather. You know what his name was? Adolphe. Now, I think since the Second World War, nobody calls anybody Adolphe anymore, okay? But my great-grandfather is sitting there, and my great-grandma. Now, little Olivia is here this morning. My little great-granddaughter's here this morning, right? Isn't she? She was. You think she's going to remember me? No, but folks, that's what Solomon came to conclusion. I didn't even know my great-grandfather's first name. He died in 1925. I didn't even know that. If my grandmother talked about it, I can't say that I remember. And it's one of Solomon's conclusions of life. You live, you die. Well, actually, want to read a verse that maybe it never struck you? It's look at chapter 7. Go there. Look what he says. Better to spend your time, this is in verse 2 of chapter 7, better to spend your time at funerals than parties. And he tells you why. After all, everyone dies. So the living should take this to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for sadness has a refining influence on us. A wise person thinks a lot about death, while fools think only about having a good time. Better to go to a funeral than a party. Teach us to number our days so that I may gain a heart of wisdom, the Bible says. See, Solomon did it. And Solomon came to some conclusions that are really significant. They were done under the sun. But Solomon, the key verse in Ecclesiastes is found in chapter 3. I want to go there and then we're going to talk about this for a bit. Because I really think it's at the basis of our topic this morning. Verse 11. And it says there, if you can see it in your own Bible, my version says, he has planted eternity in all of our hearts. He's planted eternity in all of our hearts. What's that mean? Well, I'm going to give you an illustration because we live in times of cell phones. I was sitting on a plane, I don't know, several months ago. I don't know anything about my cell phone. It scares me. I was asking Greg earlier before we started. I said, Greg, I got a couple of things I want to put, and they're on my cell phone, but I don't want to touch it because I'll probably lose them. And Greg did this and was done. Anyway, but do you know, I was on the plane and the stewardess, I was checking my phone before we took off. And she said, sir, I want you to put your phone in airplane mode. And I said, I thought I was in an airplane mode. I'm on an airplane. Okay. And she didn't think that was funny. But I was serious. What do you mean, put it in airplane mode? Well, she said, here, give me your phone. And she went to settings. And she took my phone and she put it in, oh, there it is, airplane mode. Oh, okay. What's that mean? Well, she said, you know what it means? It means you're not going to receive any data if it's in airplane mode. Okay. Folks, let me tell you something. This is what Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11 means. Every human being on the planet has been given a device. It's a spiritual device. And God planted it in your hearts. That's what it means. You know what it means? It means that the moment you were born, God planted in your hearts a device. And you're connected to heaven because he placed eternity in your hearts. All of us, every human being on the planet. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. We walk around and we have our device in airplane mode. You know what separates you from God? Your sin. Your sin separates you from God. And when you have sinned, you were born in sin, you have a device, but it's in airplane mode. You're not getting any data from God. And let me tell you this. When the Queen of Sheba traveled, I think over 1,000 miles, but like I said, I didn't check my geography. She was searching for the meaning of life. And the one who did the social experiment had the answers for her. And I'm going to tell you, my friend, one of the keys to depression are the questions that I want you to think about. I'm going to name four of them now. And at the root of depression is, we know, is anxiety, because the Bible tells us that. But at the root of anxiety is fear. And at the root of that is sin. And the lack of connection to God. And listen, even Christians operate oftentimes in airplane mode. They're not getting any data from God. Here's the four questions. If you can answer this, you have the meaning of life. And that is what the conclusions that Solomon came to. And here they are, four questions. Where do you come from? Why are you here? Where are you going? And who cares? You got to get this, because if you get this, and you turn on or turn off airplane, God will speak to your heart this morning. God will help you. God will show you the significance that you have as an individual, as a human being. Because in Genesis chapter 1, if you want to know, one of the most important verses in all of the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. You know what it says? You were created in the image of God. Now, I know you like Fluffy, and I know you like Princess, your dog. But your dog was not made in the image of God. I know, I'm sorry to disappoint you. But you were. And my friend, if you don't understand that, you are subject to big time depression. People feel so insignificant today. They're not plugged into heaven. God wants to tell you that in your mother's womb, God saw you. God formed you. And you are significant. Because in his early conclusions, Solomon said this, you're insignificant. It's chasing the wind. But remember, Solomon did the original experiment in airplane mode. The original experiment was Solomon was no chump. Solomon was a historian. Imagine having a panel up here with the leading historian on planet Earth. He was a philosopher. He was a scientist. He was a psychologist. Solomon, there was no one. He had it all, man. And if you go to chapter 2, he tells you what he did. He said, you know what? I am going to do everything I just feel like doing. Now, remember, if you want to get a migraine, here's a formula. Have 700 wives and 300 girlfriends. Because that's what he had. They're called concubines. That's a girlfriend. Okay? I get a migraine just thinking about that. Okay? Every guy here does too. Believe me. Not because of you ladies. No. But can you imagine? So here he is. He's Solomon. He's driving the chariots that other people couldn't afford. Man, he had it all. He had it all. And he came to some conclusions. And he said, life is meaningless. Life is chasing the wind if you are in airplane mode. In airplane mode. And then he talked about why you're here. She gave the answer. He gives the answer. And why are you here? Where are you from? What did you come from? You know, today they teach it in the school. You hit a mosquito, you're hitting one of your distant cousins. You came out of a swamp. Nothing plus nobody equals everything. I don't know. I got a little bit of science in my background, and that don't make sense to me. Nothing plus nobody equals everything. Right? That's what we're taught. Right? That's what we're taught. And it's become, you can't even question it. You can't even argue about it. It's taught as science. And the world is gazillions of years old. They need time for things to happen. So they just add time. You know, I remember when I was in school and evolution was just a theory. It was taught, But, you know, I'm not saying creation was equal, but, you know, I think they understood to some extent the limits of evolution. But anyway, there are no more limits now. I tell you, my friend, evolution is devolution. Evolution is a spiritual problem. It is not science, it's science fiction. But if you're not connected, if you're in airplane mode, you don't realize, where did I come from? See, that's a big problem. You know, in Sudbury, we have 30, listen to what I'm going to say. This is comes right out of the emergency department. 30, to me, that's one a day. Suicides are drug overdoses 365 days of the year in Sudbury. Average, 30 suicides are drug overdoses. I tell you, my friend, it is a huge problem in our society today. A huge problem in our society today. And young people, because they don't have the bearings, they're not connected to heaven like they should be. They have a device inside of them, but they're not connected. They feel that insignificance, and they don't understand their purpose in life. My friend, that is at the root of depression. It's at the root of it. Where am I going? Where do I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? Friend, that's significant. Because, you know, that's why it says, better to go to a funeral than a party. See, people want to go to parties. You know, why do you want to go to? I went to a party yesterday. It was my sister's 50th wedding anniversary. And Rosie and I sort of celebrated a little bit too, because that was our first date. I asked Rosie to go to my sister's wedding 50 years ago yesterday. And we had a party. And my wife's going, is that how I met you? No, but seriously, guys, people like parties. And I'm not against parties. But isn't it true? Isn't the conclusions true? Isn't it better that you go to a funeral? And you know why? Because he says, when you go to a funeral, you really get some teaching there, or at least you should. I was telling Ralph, I said, Ralph, we used to be on deck. Now we're at the plate. That's what funerals tell me. I told you this before, maybe. I got a degree honorary in obituariology. Every day I look at the obituaries. My wife gave me an honorary degree from the University of Rosie. Yeah, because I like looking at obituaries. First of all, I want to make sure I'm not there. Okay? But seriously, I mean, she said, don't you know everybody? Well, no, but just about. I come to look and see if you're there first, because I look at the Timmins one before the Sudbury one. I go to timmins.ca or whatever it is. It comes right to my phone if I have it out of airplane mode. And I can read about obituaries. But that talks to me, because that's what the Bible says about obituaries. Teach me, Lord, to number my days, so that I may gain a heart of answer, wisdom. You want wisdom from God? You want your data coming in? God will tell you, go to a funeral, have a look. It's going to happen to you. Coming to a theater near you soon for me. Okay? And It doesn't make me depressed because I'm linked to heaven. I realize that I'm only passing through. This is not it. I didn't know that before. People put all their eggs in this basket. Not me. Not me. I realize I'm connected to heaven. And I know as sure as I'm standing before you this morning, that on the second I take my final breath, my friend, I know for sure that Tony Martin is going to heaven. I know that for a fact. I have a peace. How can you have peace unless you know where you're going? Come on. Why do you think the world's like it is? They don't know where they're going. Oh, maybe, I'm going to go to the happy hunting ground over here. And no, you're not. I'm going fishing with my buddies. I'd rather go to HE double hockey stick because all my friends are going to be there. No, you don't. People joke about it. But that's going to a party. That's not going to a funeral. You're going to a party. Because people talk stupid at a party. Add alcohol and then you get crazy. I told my wife, I'm getting stoned. Why? Well, I said, I come into Timmins. The only thing that's open are marijuana shops. Come in. I tell you, read the signs. They're fighting for each other. Come in here. I said, Rosie, let's get stoned. I've never been stoned in my life. I'd like to start. John, come in with me. No. But folks, if you don't get data from heaven, you're going not only to miss the meaning of your life, the significance of your life, you're going to miss your destination that God wants you to come to. Absent in the body, present with the Lord. That's why, for me, when I look at death, I don't, Woody Allen said this, I'm not scared of death, but he said, I just don't want to be there when it happens. Okay? Like a comedian, right? Like laughing. It's kind of funny. But, what I'm saying is, to be honest, I want to live, okay? God put that in there too, by the way. God gave you instincts to live until your time's up. But if you have a focus, and your life, when you understand that this is school, you're in school. You know what I did in school? I majored in recess. Okay? I hated school. You school? I get these kids. I like school. What? You like school? I hated school. Right? But you know what I really hated? When the teacher said, close your books. See, I was a crammer. I was the best at it. You give me 24 hours and you tell me to study something, I was really good at it. I could cram with the best of the crammers. I mean it. But I never did. My dad would say, where's your homework? Oh, done. I think I brought some books home, but I don't remember doing homework. I didn't believe in homework. I said, don't sweat it, Dad. Everything will be fine. But seriously, God, but you see, what is school? School, guys, is tests. If you understand that, if life is a school and it's not your permanent home, and you don't have to put all your eggs in the basket of this world, I can tell you something, my friend. That will relieve a burden on you that you would not believe. Because God is telling you, if you would listen and turn on that device and get data from him, that you can go where he is. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God and you believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back to receive you, that where I am, you may be with me also. My friend, can I encourage you on something today? Take the data from the Word of God and apply it into your hearts. Because let me tell you about life. If you haven't figured this out yet, young people sometimes look at me like I got two heads. I understand it. He's old, of course. He doesn't know what he's talking about. La, 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 la. Yeah. Honest to God, I used to be young. Honest. Anyway. No, but you see, what do you mean trials? I could call up people in this room today. And you could come up and give testimonies on God allowed trials in your life and major trials in your life. Because you're in school, and God's purpose for your life is to use those trials, not only to get your attention. I mean that. Sometimes, I talked to a lady the other day, and I could never talk to her about the Lord ever until the wheels on the bus of her life came off, and she was in the ditch of her life, and her life was coming apart at the seams. No more health, no more wealth, and no more happiness. She'd lived for those things. And now the wheels of the bus came off, and now she was trying to turn that device on, get out of airplane mode, and to listen to what God had to say. And God sent me. I just happened to be there, excuse me, to talk to her about the Lord. Now, the fourth one is this. Let me close with this. Four. The fourth one is, who cares? You need to answer that question. Who cares? When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You see, what'll happen if you turn on your device and you let God speak to you when you are going through trials, when thou walkest through the waters, thou will not drown. They'll be high. Are you not going to drown? When thou goest through the fire, thou will not be burnt. God will never give you more than the grace he will give you to go through it. God will never give you more. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. God wants to bring you up, not out of your trials, but to bring you up so that you see from his perspective. He gives you wisdom. So you look at trials and you go, what lessons am I learning right now? I'm learning, hopefully, prayerfully, to trust in God. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Who cares? One thing I know, God cares. And the shortest verse in the Bible, my friend, you want to memorize a verse today? Anyone can memorize it. You know what it is? John 11:35. You know what it says? Jesus wept. You did it. You got a verse. Jesus wept. It's so significant. You think Jesus doesn't see? Jesus sees. Jesus cares. He cares for you. He cares what you're going through. He knows exactly. He's not 100 miles away from you or 1,000. He's waiting for you to turn the device on so he can speak to the eternity that he's put right in your heart, and every human being has it. And my friend, the problem is people go through life and they walk through life and they're not connected to God. And I'm saying, and I think the Bible says, that anxiety, which is leads to depression, comes when we're not listening to God's data to us as individuals. And I know chemistry gets involved down the road, whatever. All I'm saying, and science is saying, that it's not a chemical imbalance that causes it. It's there, but it doesn't cause it. The Bible says that when you are not connected to God, it leads to depression. It's a major impact in people's lives. So when you look at people today, you Christians, when you look at people today, I invite you to start thinking about what those people are going through. You know what? When I look at people and when I'm connected to God, here's what I see. I see people that are living their lives and I feel sorry for them. They don't have what I have. They have the device, but they don't have what I have. They don't have their link to heaven, to one who says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I tell you, my friend, that's a promise in the Bible. I've seen people go through, Christians that have gone through suffering like you would not believe. How do you do it? And their testimony is, God brought me through. God brought me through. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again, O God, for your precious Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for each and every one, Father, that has come out this morning. I pray that these thoughts, Lord, might speak to hearts, Father, like you've spoken to mine. And Father, I want to remind, Father, everyone here that God loves them. God sent his Son to die on the cross for them. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts like only you can, and remind people of their significance, and remind them of their purpose, and remind them, Father, of their destiny, if they would choose the right road, and remind them, Father, that you care. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.